Welcome to The Radical Word, the chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Lancaster, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel, French Valley. Open your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart so that the Word of God can do a radical work in you.
Good evening. Tonight we're going to be in John 14. We're going to look at 13 real quick to understand 14. So when Pastor Rick asked the question, if you will, of who would be teaching or whatever, if anyone wanted to. And my first reply was, oh yeah, let me do it. And then I thought, so after I already submitted it, then I thought, well, what do I teach on? And then he goes, well, and then I read the next email or whatever, the next week. And he said, how I perceived it was, if the Lord's leading you to do something, basically you need to do it, is what I got from it. And I'm like, well, he led me to say yes, but I don't know what he led me to say yes for. And so now, studying for a while and really enjoying that, we're going to get into that tonight. So it's interesting because there's a lot of things that I was wanting to do, and then there's a lot of things that God said, that was for you, and that was for me. And you wanted to do it because I showed you and gave you the desire to do it and want to study it. And so I spent a lot of awesome time in this. And so I appreciate this very much, very much. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you, God, and we thank you for this time, this opportunity, Lord, to dive into your word. And Lord, I pray that you would use me right now as a tool and as a vessel, Lord, that you would fill me up with your Holy Spirit, that I'd be your mouthpiece, Lord, and that, Lord, you would be here, Lord, and that we would see you, Lord, and that I would fade to the back, Father. And so, Lord, I thank you for David and his worship and his offering of praise to you, Lord, that we got to together join in song to worship you, holy God, that you are. And I praise you for your everlasting love, Lord, your peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord, your grace and your mercy. And Lord, cleanse us on our hearts right now, Lord, as we prepare to learn more about your word, Lord. Be with the trip and the team in Indonesia. I ask for your favor and your blessing upon them, Lord. Lead and guide them, Holy Spirit. As you are with them there, you are with us here. And so we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so tonight we will be looking at John 14, verses 1 through 6. And I entitled it, We Ain't Here Long. Just wanting to get back to my roots of being from Kentucky and all. Well, actually, in Chicago, but anyways. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So, I actually thought about titling it either the way, the truth, or the life, believe, and just before I even had the message, I heard, we ain't here long. We're not here long. Our time on earth is short, and given the situation with my mother and her health, it is such a more of a daily reminder that we're not here long. And growing up in Kentucky, learning and growing and being a part of my grandfather slowly dying of cancer, definitely in a different way than my mom is living with cancer, but seeing the implications that had on his life is kind of similar how it's having on her life. And so as I was studying a few elements and ideas in this text, listening to a few different songs about this idea that we're not here long, the idea of somebody here and then gone. Because here we see Jesus is talking, the reason that he says, do not let your heart be troubled, is we'll go back in 13, we're going to look at five different things. One of the things, before we get to those five things, is that keeping in mind the idea of mercy, that in the beginning we're going to go through, we're going to look at in many ways that Jesus gave the disciples mercy here. Mercy is kindness or help given to people who are in a very bad or desperate situation. And as they're in chapter 13, beginning with the upper room, the upper room discourse, if you will, this is where it begins. And, you know, Jesus is amongst his brethren, amongst, you know, his disciples, and with the exception of crazy man Judas. But what's interesting here is that, you know, the five things I want to look at in chapter 13 is that, one, he washed the disciples' feet. He identifies Judas who was going to betray him. He says and he claims that Jesus claims that he's going to leave them. Fourth, that he gives a new commandment, which is in verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then the fifth point is that Jesus predicts Peter's denial. So there's a lot that the disciples are confused. And as Jesus is explaining all these things, that's when he says in verse 1 of 14, let not your heart be troubled. One thing that I noticed as I was studying chapter 13 was that Jesus threw them a curveball. He threw them in a loop. He caught them in essence. He caught them off guard. And I feel like that the disciples were always being caught off guard with Jesus. They're always being misinterpreting what he said, or just missing it all together and looking dazed and confused, as sometimes we do when God tells us to do something because it absolutely makes no sense whatsoever, because it's not in our way of thinking and our thought. And so obviously it's not of God, because it doesn't make sense to us, right? Yeah. Totally. Proverbs 16:9 says that a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And then Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. So, you know, all this is to say that as we look at verse, we begin to look at verse 1 again, and as we read it before, but as we look at it and break it apart, that Jesus is saying, even though all this is going on, you know, all this is that I'm telling you and sharing with you what's the events that are about to happen, that I'm going to be physically leaving you. I'm going to be gone because I ain't here long. that we should not be troubled. So let's read verse 1 again. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God and believe also in me. So if Jesus is our Savior, then we should not, as Paul says in Acts 20:24, have none of these things move me. And Paul went through some crazy shenanigans, that's for sure. Before killing Christians, thereafter leading people to Christ. So just drastic 180. And yet he said all the things in this past, you know, I'm not going to dwell on them. I'm not going to think about them. And even the tribulations that verse, in Acts 20:24, the Holy Spirit is telling him, you're going to go through some tribulations and it's going to be some very hard times. But he said, none of these things are going to move me, knowing what he's going for. And that's kind of the same idea as well as that Jesus is telling, the disciples, these things are going to happen, but don't worry. Keep going and trust in me. So, Paul was speaking of his tribulations, and we are to run our race to finish it with joy in the ministry that we've received from our Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So we should not be troubled. And I studied that word troubled for some days, actually, not because I was in trouble, but I wanted to understand the troubled that Jesus was speaking about. So the Greek word is terasso. Terasso. I don't know. I'm not going to do the accents. I don't know why I try. Oh, goodness. But this trouble is a trouble that takes away one's calmness of mind, lack of self-control, pertaining to strike one's spirit with fear or dread. You could also say that this word is anxious. It brings doubt, restless. It agitates you and it disturbs. So it's a lot of kind of just more than just one word, and to break it apart and understand again that we can relate to the disciples that throughout our day-to-day life, throughout the people we talk with, sometimes we're talking with a friend and they say something that just pierces our heart. and they don't mean to say it or they don't mean to do it, but it does and it hurts. And you're still asked to love on them unconditionally and to genuinely as again Jesus said in 13:34, that you love one another as I have loved you. And you know, in the beginning of 13, Jesus is washing the feet, especially washing Judas's feet, which is just a trip, you know. And think of Creator God coming down on earth, washing his creation's feet and humbling himself before his creation is, you know, it's hard for us as humans to really grasp and understand. But the thing that here that we should, again, stay focused on is the fact that it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. And that struck me that we believe in God. Period. And we're so in our humanity and in our culture, there's always a but. And sometimes it's a small but, sometimes it's a big but we like to put our buts in after what God said. And not just a comma, but sometimes it is exclamation mark out there that, but God, you realize what you just told me. God, you realize what's about to happen. And I love it when the buts point to God versus the buts that point away from God. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And honestly, that should be where we stop. That we shouldn't add our buts in there. And it's interesting, the terms, but
one T.
Yeah, one T, that's right. The one T, not the double T. Thank you for that. So yeah, we believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is definitely making a strong statement there that he always does. And I love Jesus. He's bold and he's perfect at his statements. And so as you believe in God, believe in me. And in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. Now this is interesting because Jesus got mansions. He's got many of them. He's got a whole house of mansions. And this is another word that I studied. And I looked into it and I thought about a lot. And then I wrote down a few things. Jesus, as a master workman, is preparing the heavenly place for the glorious day when he will receive his bride, the elect of all the ages, unto himself. I actually stole that from somebody, so it's okay. A mansion is a large and impressive house, the large house of a wealthy person. Now, I thought about wealthy, and I thought about riches, and I thought about a house that God would dwell in, and he's talked about it a lot in his Bible. And for many reasons, for the sake of time, I won't get to all of them, but he led me to Revelation 21. You don't need to turn there. I'm just going to point on. So how rich do you think God is when he describes the New Jerusalem? Because as in Revelation 21, verses 9 through 21, he speaks about this great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It having the glory of God, and the light of this great city was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It has great high walls that have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, with the 12 foundations of the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. This city is pure gold like clear glass. It has jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardix, sardis, chrysolite, yeah, beryl, topaz, Chris Pratt. That's a good one. We'll edit that out. Jacinth and amethyst. Amethyst, thank you. I even put the little, how to pronounce them, it just doesn't help me. It's not even going to do any good. Oh, man. So anyways, but so the gates, the 12 gates, they each had one pearl on the street, and it was made, the street was made, wait, what? The 12 gates had, each had one pearl, and then the streets were made of pure gold, like transparent glass, like you see through this gold. So I studied that, and I studied all, and I got pictures and everything, and I was thinking about putting a slideshow, but God said no, and because I didn't want to get any more distracted than I already was about seeing through gold, other than the fact that the Apollo 11's their astronaut helmets had a thin sheet of gold over them, and it helped block the rays from the sun. So it was pretty cool finding that out. Man, but there's so much to talk about. Anyways, so these are the mansions, okay? This is one of the mansions, if you will. This New Jerusalem is exciting. It's these things that we get to dwell in, we get to live in, we get to be a part of. And I look forward to this. And this is what he's talking about. He's that we should look forward to what he's working on for us and what he's building for us. But the bride needs to be made ready. We need to be made ready before we get there. And if you guys are anything like me, God's got a lot of work to do on me. And so I know that I'm not the only one in this room. I know he's got a lot of work on you, you. You're pretty good, though. No, you're pretty good. Yeah, you're pretty close. And Rick, you know, Pastor Rick, he'll back me on that one. So, therefore, as he is our craftsman working on our home in heaven, he did not leave us as orphans, but with a helper to complete these tasks. Later on in John 14:16, it says, "And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Oh, that is just beautiful. And then later on in 14, verses 26 to 27, he says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." It's interesting that he says the same in the same chapter, in the same group, in the same setting that he's in the upper course, "Do not be troubled. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Even though I'm leaving you, I'm with you." It's just, it's beautiful because you see the unity about our, from our God. And three quick points about our God is that God fights for us, Exodus 14:14. Jesus loves us, John 3:16. There's many others, but it's simple. Everyone knows that one. Holy Spirit teaches us, John 14:26, which we just read. And lastly, in verse 2, going back to verse 2, so we talked about, hold on, before I get there, we talked about not being troubled with mercy and Jesus having mercy as he's having compassion on his disciples always. And it's a beautiful picture because looking upon their state and where they're coming from, that's just amazing that God can see where each one's coming from and the reason why that they're there. And he knows why each one of them are there looking at him in confusion. And he knows exactly what to say, even though that they may not get it, as we'll see at Thomas in verse 5 in a minute. But he still says the truth and he still speaks the truth. And at the end of verse 2, he says that if it weren't so, then I would have told you. And it's interesting that right there that to me is that proves that makes it clear that I'm not a liar. When I tell you something, it's true. And as a result, we can and should trust him with our whole being. John 8:31-32 says that if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 14:6 says, "I am the truth," and since he is the truth, we are here. We are to have that peace that he gives to us, the shalom. His peace is personal, a special grant of peace. The peace that Christ gives banishes fear and dread from the heart, for Jesus is in control of all circumstances, as he's trying to relay to the disciples here in the upper room. Let's continue on in verse 3. And he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So as Jesus departs to make ready the eternal home, he promises to send the Holy Spirit to train, comfort, and lead the saints on their homeward way. Homeward way. I'm reminded of a movie back in 1993 called Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey. That's exactly it. Yes.
Chance.
Yes. That's right. Homeward Bound. Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey is about a family that is about to leave on a trip to San Francisco. Before they leave, they drop off their pets, Chance, Shadow, and Sassy, at a friend's ranch. But when the animals start to worry that they've been left for good, the three embark together on a treacherous and thrilling journey to find their way back home through the California wilderness. Which, by the way, the thrilling was awesome. The treacherous was a little scary at times, but they were together. And it was beautiful. Two dogs and a cat. Just, it was great. Okay. But, But as the animals couldn't understand the language of their owners saying, I'll be back, we'll be back, the hugs and the kisses and the goodbyes and everything, trying to assure them of the return, they couldn't understand them, and therefore they got worried. And then they grew weary while waiting, and they gave up and took matters into their own hands, leaving the comforts that their friend's ranch offered. So how different are we than these animals awaiting their master's return? Well, we're not animals. So, I mean, we may act like animals, but we may eat like animals. We may smell like animals, but we're not animals. We are God's creation. We know our master because he has made his home in us, those who we call him our master. John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Oh, I love that. Revelation 3:20, Jesus saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. And Jesus wants to dine with his church, his bride, his brothers, his sisters, his aunts, his uncles, his fathers and mothers. You know, let Jesus in all the time. And I like to take it and personalize that Revelation 3:20, kicking it up a notch to where that Jesus is already, he's already came into my heart, my home. And as we're walking and as we're talking in my home, there's certain doors that I keep finding that are shut. And he's knocking on those doors. Let me in that. Let me clean that out. Let me cleanse you and purify you in those rooms that you've hidden away that you don't even know are there. Those basements and corridors. Let's walk down and let's find out. Let's, you know, the Bible says, see, he's praying, you know, search my heart, O God, and find any wicked way, and let's get rid of it. Let's remove it. And that's the idea that I have that of my home and my house that God has built inside of me. And it's beautiful because I've personalized it to where I've got a pillar of grace. I've got a pillar of mercy. I got a pillar of joy. I've got a pillar of, forgiveness. And then the walls are red with his blood, and it purifies my house. And it just white, it just, it's, it, he cleanses me and makes you white as snow. It's, I won't get into any more than that because then it just, what are you talking about? But it's very personal is what I'm trying to say. It's personal, the home that he's made, that he's made his home with me, and he dines with me. He eats, we eat together all the time. And at the end of my life, this Bible right here, I want them to do a testing and see how many different kinds of foods and drinks and substances that they can find on each of these pages to see how much, you know, to prove like I've sweat, cried, ate with it. I mean, it's been in places that most people shouldn't go. And it's with me as much as it can be with me. And I love my Bible. I love how personal that relationship that I have with Jesus. And I only have it because I've surrendered my life. I've submitted myself to him. And I've willingly give up my life for a better life. And the life that I used to make for myself, you know, I would have never gotten out of that trouble place where God would tell me truth, and I would just feel, oh man, this is horrible. This place that I'm in, I can never get out of it. But because I believe in God, I can move on and I don't have to stay there. And I have the ability. He's given me everything that I need to go the way that I know. Verse 4, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. In verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus says that Jesus says they not only know where he's going, but they know how to get there. And he's told them many times this, and they still didn't get it. There are few who find this way that Jesus is talking about. And Thomas here, it seems to have a pattern with not understanding or not believing the words of Jesus. Turn with me to John chapter 20, verse 24. And we will briefly look at Thomas's unbelief in correlation to his misunderstanding of the point that Jesus is making here. So verses 24 through 31. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see his hands in the print of his nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And the reason I went all the way to 31 was not only to show the seeing and the believing that Thomas was struggling with, that he needed proof and he couldn't just have the faith that he needed and he wasn't asking God for that faith that he needed. But at the end is that by believing that we have life in his name. Now go back to verse 14 or chapter 14. And look at verse 6, for Jesus saying to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and he is the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. There's three things I want to look at for a minute, that we need to make the decision to follow the way of Jesus. We need to accept the truth as it is taught to us by Jesus. And third, we need to be genuine as we live this life for Jesus. These three things is in ways, many ways, what makes up belief, that we believe in God and believe in Jesus, that we believe in the Holy Spirit, and that it's something to where there's so much power when we believe, because the fact is that believing in Jesus is not a one-time event. It is an ongoing, continual, daily lifestyle that we choose whether to believe, whether not to believe. We choose whether to obey or whether to disobey. And we choose this day whom we will serve. And our actions point to who we're following, point to what we believe in, whether we're building our own kingdom or as Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then once you seek God's kingdom and his agenda and his way, his truth, his life, then everything will be added unto us. We already have access into these mansions that Jesus is talking about, where he's preparing them. We already have, that's where our citizenship is. That's where we look forward to and we long for it. But even in the midst of the situations now, even in the midst of dogs and cats working together, going for a same goal of getting home and their homes with their families. Even in all of that, it can get troublesome. It can get in many ways discouraging the idea, again, going back to that word trouble, is that it takes away one calmness of mind. Lack of self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. And I find it interesting that it's at the very end, because I firmly believe that if you don't have self-control over your thoughts, over your mind, and you're choosing your own desires, your own flesh, that the choice that is given to us, then it's going to be really difficult. If we're not self-controlled, then we're not going to have a calmness of mind. We're not going to have that peace, that shalom, that oneness with God, that we can rest and we can trust in Him. And we need to believe in Him at all times. He came to give life and for us to live life more abundantly through Him as we dine and we dwell and we live with Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Radical Word. If you would like to get a copy of this message or this whole series, go to www.radicalword.com. To get more information about Calvary Chapel French Valley, go to www.calvaryfv.com. You can also reach us by phone at 951-600-3845. If you're in the Murrieta area, we would be blessed to have you join us at one of our services or Bible studies.
This is Pastor Rick. The Bible teaches that Jesus, God the Son, came and walked on this earth. He lived a perfect life and then died for the sins of the world, including mine and yours. By believing that and accepting that Christ's sacrifice was for your sins, the Bible says you will be saved. Why not do that right now, right where you are? Pray this prayer with me and mean it. Jesus, I need something radical to happen in my life. Please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life. Thank you for dying for me and giving me the hope of heaven. Help me to live a radical life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, send us an email to prayer@calvaryfv.com so we can pray for you by name and send you some information to help you with your walk with Jesus. God bless you.